You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight, the 5 o'clock shadow is populated by Skulk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. Now, this morning, let's be methodical about this, Skulk, and let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service this morning. And the one that really stands out is Pick and Pay. And as I said to a previous commentator, where do you shop? Where do you shop? Is it because it's close to where you are, or is it because you prefer the brand? Go on from there, please.
Lindsay, I would say it's a bit of both. So yes, I am the typical person, the path of least resistance. I'm not going to drive further for you know. I do use my closest shop and yeah, it's not a Pick and Pay.
Okay.
But I like Pick and Pay. I every time I walk into the shops, it's well set out. It's light. I mean, it's all the things that you're ticking the boxes. And when I look at this, let's call it the financial set of results, I think it ticked the boxes as well. The market didn't react the way I would have thought looking at this set of results, because although we were looking at the sour side, let's say the downward movement in terms of HEPS over the past 12 months, that might have maybe distorted the results, but this was more than expected. The 8th of April we had the trading statement, and this trading statement gave us more than enough bad news to react by then. So why the share price is not moving positive? So let's firstly just say I'm not invested in Pick and Pay.
Okay.
This is not our preferred food retailer. I mean, we still prefer
Checkers.
ShopRite. Yeah, ShopRite. Yes. And I do think Spar will be a second choice. So Pick and Pay would only really come in third choice. But so this really gives me the opportunity to give an unbiased really opinion on the results, and I thought it was good. I mean, we look at the sales. I mean, there was really strong core sales growth. We've had very strong free cash flow from this company. The earnings growth were fine. I mean, I do think that the only reason one can, because there was two announcements made. The first was this, the results naturally, and the second one the CEO stepping down, and the new CEO. I don't know if I pronounce his name right, but it's not Peter. It's Pieter. Pieter Boone is there, your valley is Dutch. He's living in the Netherlands.
Yes.
And he'll be taking over as the new CEO of Pick and Pay. So I think that's maybe the only thing that I could see why the market didn't really react, because I think they might have said, well, why not get somebody local that knows the local market? We've seen over the past few years the effect of let's not bring in soccer, but the effect of getting a foreign coach to come and coach local teams, with effect on that. We've seen the effect on local companies trying to cross the borders of South Africa. There's been little success, and I think that might be a reason. I can only guess. What I've seen on Pick and Pay in general, I thought it was very solid results. I can compliment them, and I could say that to people that's invested, I wouldn't be having any sleepless nights soon, looking at this sort of results.
Very good. Should be part of a portfolio, a retail portfolio anyway. Okay, well done. There's another one. I was going to talk about Quilter, but I don't want to talk about Quilter. I want to talk about Carp Agri Limited. They came out with a trading statement. The share price has closed up 6.3%, and I know it's a relatively illiquid stock, and I know that you're possibly a little bit closer to it than most people that I speak to. But Carp Agri, I find this a fascinating company.
Yeah, this was phenomenal. I mean, in so many ways. I mean, it's clearly this is when you look at the headline earnings per share. I mean, this is you're looking at it. It's going to be an increase between 21.6% and 26.5%.
Yeah, they're quite precise, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that is interesting. I would have just said 22 to 27, but anyway,
so would
that's.
I, yeah.
But I mean, I'm not a agricultural analyst or economist. But it does seem when we look at the recent environment, the rains that we've had, the weather was kind, to co-op agri. We've chatted so many weeks. We chatted about commodities, and we sort of always focus when we say commodities. The first thing we think about is gold, and well, that's me. Okay, that's maybe just me.
Yes.
Or we'll think about platinum and palladium and silver and copper and those kind of things. We tend to forget about the softer commodities and what big part of the South African economy. Our softer commodities, our food producing as yielded. So in general, I thought, it looked really good. They say there's stores, and they've got 70 stores in South Africa and in Namibia. It's steadily becoming, and they mentioned it in the report, it's steadily becoming a favorite one-stop shop for the wider range agricultural lifestyle product.
It's becoming a retailer. I mean, when I used to go to, I used to drive out to the Klein Courier, I would stop on the way, and it would be a petrol station or a shop that was owned by Co-op Agri. And it was really well run, and it was really well set out, and it was really efficient, and the products were set out in a way that I could understand. I think it's a really good company.
There's a saying that says simple is safe. Now, yes. You asked me in the beginning of the program, do I go into a pick and pay often? I do go into a Co-op Agri, and not just here in Cape Town where I live, and I'm honest. There's another Cape Agri which I'm really often visit. I mean, the shops have become really accessible. It's they've got great locations.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, as you walk into the shop, either buying food, buying plants, buying tools, they really got a very, very nice, very simple methodology, very simple structure. And I think it's this simple that's really attracting a lot of consumers.
Very good. Any other companies on the Stock Exchange News Service that you looked at today? We've spoken about Pick and Bay. We've spoken about Co-op Agri. We don't want to talk about Quilter, I don't think, do we? No, we've said that.
No.
But anyway, let's move on to the spot prices now. The dollar rand is 14.24. Yeah, it's very slightly weaker, but nothing to write home about. The British pound against the rand is 19.87. The euro rand is 17.16. Euro dollar is 1.2033, which is barely changed on the day. The cable, that's a British pound against the US dollar, is 139.35, was one above 140 yesterday. The gold price, your favorite. Oh, you must be jumping through hoops, Skulklo. Look at this thing. You must be skipping as we speak. $17.94, up around about $20 in the last 24 hours. The platinum price is $12.15, which is down $7. Where's palladium, please, Skulk?
Well, when you look at the close on platinum, just for interest's sake, Lindsay, we're not just above the $1,200 mark again. I mean, it's actually 2% up, for today. Palladium is having a massive day. They're flirting with that $2,900 mark again. Currently trading $2,865. That's up 4% for today. So
all-time record
massive,
highs.
Massive. Correct. Yes. Massive precious metals there. Even silver. Silver is also up. We never touch on silver, but silver currently trading at $26.44. I mean, that's also up 2.2%. So, precious metals. I actually found a very interesting statistic lately. I usually get a lot of questions around why is the rand really strengthening, and I'm not going to go into this too deeply. I've done a nice report which could be published in FinWeek in the next week.
Yes.
Where I touch on different things. I mean, let's start off first with the first point. When we look at the inflation that came out today, so South African inflation came out this morning.
Let's just focus on that. It came in at 3.2%. that correct for the month of March?
Yes. Very close to what was expected. I mean, the expected rate was 3.1%, so 3.2% is in line. But why I'm so focused on that 3.2% is, you know, the differential between South Africa and the U.S. now is at 0.58%. Remember, they came out at 2.62%. We are at 3.2%. So that's 0.58%. This is the lowest inflation differential between South Africa and the U.S. in 15 years. The last time we've seen these type of differentials, you know, was back in 2006. Now, let's for a second, you know, turn the clock back to that 2006. When we had the inflation differential, and remember, it also moved from the more or less the 5% differential, which we've seen over the last 5 years, and stayed long. The difference between South Africa and US back then stayed low for quite some time. We're looking at about 3 to 4 years back then. Over that period, the rand went from, I'm not going to even touch on the 13 rand, you know, to the dollar, because we could say that was manipulation, but it went from the 10 rand per dollar level to below 6 rand a dollar over that period where the inflation differential was low. So again, to all the listeners out there, you know, we're suddenly back to a very low inflation differential. Be careful thinking that this is just a one-time thing or debt cap bounce or whatever you want to call it. If we see a repeat, remember 2003 or post-2003 was also a massive movement back into commodities. We started off on precious metals, you know, and why did I touch on that? Also because when we look at our current account, now, you know, I'm not going to look at the U.S. and then their current account because they've become the king of kings when it comes to running a current account deficit. But South Africa, you know, we've seen some serious deficits over the you know, let's call it the last decade as well. And suddenly, for the past two quarters, we've seen a massive surplus. And when I say massive surplus, I'm talking about the biggest surpluses we've seen, you know, in two quarters ever. Now, a lot of people and a lot of economists out there, and I don't want to make myself out as an economist, will now say, well, it's called, you know what, you're missing the point because we've came out of a COVID scenario in that scenario. And, you know, imports was very difficult because just for those who don't understand the concept of the current account, that's one country doing business with its business partners. And it's basically your difference between exports and imports. If you're a larger exporter than an importer, you're running a surplus, and vice versa. If you're importing more than you export, you're running a deficit. So we've had this massive surplus, and we know that the supply chain has been affected. We had COVID. So I'm not going to focus on the import side. I'm going to focus on the export side, and specifically, as I began, the precious metals export.
When we look at precious metals, before you go on, precious metals used to be gold, okay, and platinum was almost like a side issue. We were lucky enough to have 76% of the world's platinum group metal reserves, and that's when I say platinum group metals, I mean platinum, I mean palladium and rhodium and iridium and all those other things, which have now become more important than gold. Of course, we are so lucky in South Africa, or you are so lucky in South Africa, to have these reserves underneath the ground. It's quite an extraordinary story, and record highs on palladium today of $2,900. It's astonishing.
Correct. You're 100% correct, Lindsay. I mean, this is a wonderful South African story, which I think is not getting way enough. I mean, it should give way more attention, because I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. But just to put that in perspective, you know, when we look at the exports of precious metals out of South Africa per month over the past 10 years. You know, we were looking at monthly exports of about, 165 billion rands worth of exports on precious metals per month. That, for the past 12 months, that figure has now gone up to just shy of 250 billion rand per month. So that is exports. So remember, that's just exports. That's taxes. That's money flowing into. This is the main reasons why the South African rand is really strengthening. This is not just a fluke. This is not just, oh, this is lucky. And I think the most important thing that I want to make, you know, on this, and you never want to call a top or bottom on anything. This is not my job as a portfolio manager. My job is to make sure that the clients are well diversified, and not just focus on, you know, this currency is bad, so then I'll go out of this country and go 100% in that country, or this investment is bad, then I go But when I look at commodities in general, I do still see upside. And when you say, well, if you still see upside in that environment, specifically in the precious metals, this is very good for South Africa. So don't be betting against the mighty Zara. Definitely not.
Unless the people that are trading the mighty Czar have already factored in the sort of arguments that you've just put forward, and therefore 18 months ahead, that's already put into the price. You don't know. Anyway, let's have a look at the crude oil price, because I know you love gold and you love platinum and all those other things, but we've missed out crude oil. West Texas is down 1% today. It's bucking the trend. It's $62.03 per barrel. Brent crude oil is 66 on the nail, which is down 0.86%. Tell me about Bitcoin, please.
Yeah, it seems under pressure lately. I mean, this is it's always sort of a hedge against the dollar, and now, you know, not anymore. Moving same direction, dollar weaker today. Bitcoin again down 1.5%, currently trading below $56,000.
Okay, the South African 10-year bond is let's call it 9.10, which is barely changed on the day. The US 10-year is. Where's the US 10-year? Let me just press my screen here. It's 157.5, which is just very, very slightly higher for the yield itself. And let's have a look at the big movers on the JSE Securities Exchange today. Barlow World, as I refresh my screen again, Barlow World was one of the top movers, and I don't know why that is, but maybe you can tell me. Barlow World up 6.75%, Impala Platinum up 5%, Sasol up 3.75%, Northern Platinum up 3.5%, Growthpoint up 3.5%. On the downside, the ones that need to be mentioned, Liberty Holdings down 2%, Santam down 2%, and Quilter down nearly 2%. I don't know if I'm being stupid here, but isn't it a no-brainer to buy a company that digs platinum group metals out of the ground in South Africa? Because you've got a rand that is so strong, and even if the price comes down, the fact is that in the future, the rand is either going to stabilize or weaken. So you've got to buy South African PGM producers. Surely, Skulk.
Yeah, I do agree. I think current levels might attract some competition soon. I mean, for those listeners out there, it is well noted that South Africa is the largest platinum producer in the world. You know, second is Russia. When you look at palladium, we're the second largest, but only just. I mean, when you look at, you know, between Russia and ourselves, Russia being the largest palladium producer, I mean, I think we basically all more or less 60%, more than 60% of all the palladium that is mined are mined between Russia and South Africa. So I think there might be some competition coming in, but in general, I totally agree with you. I mean, the free cash flow on companies like Impala Platinum, every morning they start that company up. It's literally, you know, starting up a money printing machine. It's just. It's just wonderful. And I started off this conversation and said, well, what will turn this around? We've seen Chinese GDP came out earlier this week. And, you know, to all the listeners that's going to jump on my back and say, don't focus on the 18.3%, because it was a very low point 12 months ago and a very high point now. So 18.3% is sort of a false positive. Yes. Okay, so let's make that 2 years. Let's make the Chinese economy 2 year, you know, growth, which 1 year includes a massive drop down in terms of COVID-19. Then they've still grown more than 5% per annum, their GDP, over the past 2 years. And we look at a 5-year period, they've still grown their economy at more than 6% per annum over a 5-year rolling period. I can clearly see when you look at these figures coming out from China, I'm really thinking, you know, and I've kept on saying it, they don't, you know, they are plowing the US with these new stimulus, you know, $1.9 trillion, now talking about a $2.3 trillion infrastructure stimulus. Why are they employing it? Because the US are the consumer, and they don't make these TVs, these toasters, these microwaves. This is where Made in China comes in, and Made in Korea, Made in Taiwan. But China do not have the iron ore, the copper, all these commodities, platinum, palladium, to make these stuff. This is where Russia comes into play in South Africa. So naturally, we all will be applauding, you know, the U.S. saying, yes, just go for it. Print that money as quick as you can, because the quicker you can print this, you know, the better for our commodities. So I don't foresee this changing. So, yes, a long-winded way of saying, Lindsay, I totally agree with you. PGM companies in South Africa is a wonderful investment currently, and I wouldn't be without it yet. I don't think that let's call it this the good results, a good set of results we've recently seen are yet done. I do think that there's still more to come.
I think there's so much more to come. Scott, give us the closing JSE indices on this Wednesday, please.
So the JSE closed today at 67,146 points. That is up 46 basis points. Resource Index, they were the biggest winner today. They were up 97 basis points, just shy of 1% up for today. Industrial Index up 33 basis points. The somewhat weaker rand did see the financials a little bit under pressure. They were down 0.3% today. And even the SA Property Index had another wonderful day. They were up 1.23%. The value on the market, value traded, was very thin. I mean, so you can't read too much into it. That we've only seen just over 17 billion rand being traded on the JSE. That's after the previous 2 days. Oh, actually, the previous 3 days, which we also haven't seen a 20 billion day. So very thin volumes. And let's hope that picks up.
Skulklo, thanks so much for your time. Skulklo is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. And Skulk will be back with me for the opening tomorrow morning. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.